The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. Well, I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me in the studio will be Rebecca Jones, president of the League of Women Voters, and we'll be talking about the election that's happening on June 5th and the forums the League will be hosting. Also with me in the studio will be Susan Lamont, one of the founders and a local activist of the Police Brutality Coalition. Susan and I will be talking about the protest that took place yesterday, April 15th, in Oakland. The action was called Not Two U.S. Wars at Home and Abroad. What a title. And also, I want to remind everybody out there, join me on Wednesday, April 18th, at the Rincon Valley Library for the Together at the Table. I'm so excited. You know, as most of you know, I am also the president of the National Organization for Women called NOW Now, which is the Sonoma County chapter. And they're having a great conversation at the library that's going to be April 18th at the Rincon Valley Library at 6959 Montecito Boulevard in Santa Rosa. It should be a very, very interesting gathering. We'll also have the League of Women Voters there. Molly McGregor will be there from the National Women's History Project and several other people. I think Verity is going to be there also, our Rape Crisis Center. So I would encourage people to come. That's going to be this Wednesday. And if you come and say hi to me, I'm going to give you a little card with the pledge and give you a big hug and let me know if you listen to the show. Something happening here this Saturday, April 21st at the KBBF here is called the Day of the Child. It's going to be at the Carpenters Hall here at 1700 Corbin Avenue. It's a free event for the whole family. It's an opportunity for everybody to get together. They're going to have singing. They're going to have storytelling. They're going to have dancing, all kinds of things. So that, and also, if you're here, you can come on in and see the KBBF studios and you might become a member, you know. Our children are the future, and you know we can assure a good future the more community radio that we have going on here. Well, that's a lot to think about. So it's going to be happening from 2 to 6. Again, that's the Day of the Child at the Carpenter Hall here at 1700 Corby Avenue, and it is a free event. Boy, a lot of stuff going on, you know. It's amazing. Well, just to give you a little update, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, SAAM. And this is an annual campaign to raise public awareness about sexual assault and educate communities and individuals on how to prevent sexual violence. What a mouthful. I mean, when you start thinking about it, so much is going on in our communities and in our country, you know, with women speaking out. And, you know, if there's any woman out there who's having an issue, I'd like to remind you that we have several great places. We have a group called Verity. You know, they actually have a hotline, a 24-hour hotline, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and their crisis line number is, get yourself a pencil or pen, it's 707-545-7273. And also in line with Verity, there's going to be a women's music festival. It's going to be very interesting, and that is going to be supporting the programs at Verity. And that's going to be happening also on the 21st. And well, let me see what it says here. I got to look here. You know, we're on live radio here. Okay, it's going to be, the first event's going to be Friday, April 20th. That's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center. And I understand they're going to have a marvelous panel. I did do the interview last week with a woman that was the organizer, and it really really sounds, it's the first annual Women's Music Festival. I mean, I'm just so excited about it. So that's going to be happening from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m. at the Arlene Francis Center, and that's at 99 West 6th Street. They're going to have a panel, and then the next, and also lots and lots of good music. And I can't believe one of my favorite people in the world, Nina Garber, is going to be there. And I'm just so excited. I have to give, I'll give folks a little bit of history. When I came on the air in 1976 was when all of a sudden there was a big burst of women's music. And when I first heard like Holly Near or Chris Christensen, when I heard that music and women singing like that, it was just amazing. And I actually met Nina Garber. So I'm going to be happy to walk up to her and say, hi, Nina. I don't know if you remember me, but I used to play your music way back in 1976. So that's going to be very, very exciting. So that's going to be a fundraiser for Verity. And like I said, they have a hotline and they're located at 835 Pina Road, Suite D in Santa Rosa, and they, it's kind of an open policy. You can kind of go in. It's almost like a one-shop stop center. It's called the Family Justice Center, and what you do is when you walk in, you have an issue, they do an intake, and they have all kinds of counselors right there for you. So don't be shy if there's anybody in your family or yourself that is having any kind of issue like that. And also, another thing that we also have the YWCA, and what I found out about the YWCA is this has been the, this is one of the oldest organizations that's been working with women, and we have a wonderful YWCA here in Sonoma County, and it's very interesting. They also have a hotline, and let's see, that number is 546-1234, area code 707. So, you know, and you can also go on the website, go on to www.womenspaces. We'll have these different information listed, and hopefully you won't have to use them, but it's always good to know that they are available. Well, that's a lot to think about, an awful lot to think about, and we're going to take a little musical break. But before I do that, I just want to make a statement here. I've been very upset. I mean, to be honest with you, I've actually been crying. Every time I think about it, all of a sudden, I just go into this sadness, and I don't know how to cope with it. So I thought I would just express myself this morning. I cannot believe that we are using military action, bombing civilians in Syria, in retribution for someone that they don't know for sure poisoned the water. Okay, so my question is, and this is what has been depressing me, if they poison the water, why aren't you down there analyzing the water, trying to clear it up, trying to find out who did it, maybe negotiating with them so they don't do it anymore, letting them see how many people are hurt, how many people are damaged. I mean, to sit and have some sort of diplomacy go there. And then this is what we do. We just go in and drop bombs. I mean, then we have to ask ourselves, there's so much violence in this world. What are we showing our young people? Whenever there's a conflict, go get a gun and blast it. Go drop a bomb. I mean, that's the example we're setting. So what do we expect? I mean, it's a pretty sad world when you start thinking about it. For myself, I just felt so powerless. You know, and I realized that the people that are controlling our world are people that we voted for. We put them in office, and I say to myself, what was everybody thinking? Well, I want to remind people, with that thought in mind, let's come all the way back down to our local experience here. On June 5th, for the first time in over 30 years, we have a chance to choose our sheriff, a new sheriff. The sheriff is the king of the county, probably one of the most important people in our county. This is a very important election. During the June elections, generally speaking, there's only maybe 34% turnout if you're lucky. You know, we live in a democracy. There are people across the globe that are fighting so they can vote. And yet we don't vote. Well, this is very important, folks. We got the federal, which is so far away from us. And we are powerless when you start thinking about it. But we're not powerless locally. And what would help my depression, to be honest with you, if I saw at least a 55 or 60% vote out there, then I would really be happy because I would feel secure within myself. I would say to myself, wow, my community cares. So it's important today when we have Rebecca Jones on for the League of Women Voters, we listen to that history, why they're available, why they do what they do. Also, when we listen to Susan Lamont, we listen to what happened in Oakland with the protests. There are many, many people coming out. Ask yourself, what can I do to move things along? And the least you can do, the very least, is take that ballot that you're supposed to mail in, fill it out and mail it in a timely fashion, or go to the polls and vote. Very, very important. Yes, that was a rant. But you know, I feel better now. I feel like I got it out, I could express it, and my prayer is that you heard it and that we do something. Well, we're going to take a musical break, like I said before my little rant. And I'm really excited. You know, last week we had the woman on who is producing the Women in Music Festival. And I couldn't believe it. I left my music at home. So I decided this week I'm going to play some songs for them. And the song I'm going to be playing is, we're only going to play half of it, but this is going to be one of the performers at the Women's Music Festival. I believe she's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center on Friday. And the song is called Strong, Confident Woman, and it's sung by Miss Taylor P. Collins, who, like I said, is one of the performers. And when we come back, when we return, joining me in the studio is Susan Lamont, an activist and writer, and she will be sharing what happened at the No to U.S. at Home and Abroad Wars, which took place in Oakland yesterday, April 15th. Whoops, I just remembered, Ken, I left my taxes at home. Remind you folks, today you got to mail in your income tax. I know Susan's shaking her head saying no.
It's Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Oh, thank goodness I have one more day. Thank you so much. See, that's what, when you know good people, they can tell you the right. They can give you the facts. No fake news here, folks. Anyway, here we go with Strong, Confident Woman, sung by Miss Taylor P. Collins.
Dance.
feel strong and confident this morning. Well, folks, for you just joining in, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest. Joining me in the studio is a dear friend. And I got to say something about Susan. You know, I'm a wannabe celebrity, so Susan was one of my first guests on Women's Spaces. The first interview I did, I mean, my God, it was in 2002, if you can believe that.
Is that how long ago?
That's how long it was. I looked at the records just to see, and I want to thank you for that.
I'm going to say that I've probably been interviewed more on this show than anybody else, but Harriet Fodd might be catching up with me.
I love Harriet.
Anyway, I know you do.
let me just tell our folks a little bit about you, Susan, before we get into our conversation. And I understand that there's a little disappointment about the protest that you went to yesterday, which is usually we're so upbeat about this thing. Now we're going to just, it's going to be interesting. Well, Susan Lamon is a longtime peace and social justice activist who is currently affiliated with the Sonoma County Green Party. Now, What position are you with the Green Party?
I'm just on the county council that makes decisions for the party.
Right, right. But that was an elected position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting when all of a sudden I saw your name on the ballot. It was just so exciting.
It's the only time I've ever been on a ballot.
Anyway, so she's also the co-founder, one of the founders of the Police Brutality Coalition, and she's also part of Veterans for Peace. She's an excellent writer, poet, and photographer, and I have to say that she really is an amazing writer and photographer. I have one of these great pictures she gave me with this beautiful, on this Buddha statue with all these beautiful ladybugs. Just absolutely exquisite. Susan, I'm happy to say, is a regular guest here on Women's Spaces. She's always fills me in on what's going on in the community and also our listeners, and I love having her on. So welcome, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces once again. Anything else you'd like to add about yourself?
About myself? No. That's plenty.
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, Women's Spaces, the whole idea behind Women's Spaces is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things, which I put you in that class. So talk about how you got active. I mean, what was it that just put the fire under you and said, this is it, I can't stand it, I've got to go out there and do something?
Well, I come from a family that has activists in it in the past. You already know about my great-grandmother, the suffragette, and my mother was out a lot, and both of my parents were active in local governments, school boards, writing letters to the editor. I went to the Unitarian Universalist Church as a teenager, and in the early 60s I started, and we started learning about U.S. involvement in Vietnam. And then, of course, I was a college student during Vietnam, and ever since, basically.
You know, it's interesting when you bring up Vietnam. You know, I'm a first-generation American.
Yeah, whereas my family goes back to 1619, Jamestown.
Oh my goodness! So you know, I'm the immigrant. You're the people. Yeah, but we're still the bad immigrants.
We're still all immigrants.
But when I think about the Vietnam War and I think about myself, I was not against war. I thought in my mind, as far as I was concerned, the United States could do no wrong. And so when I went back to school at the late age of 30, I was a journalism major, and they asked me to cover what they called the wheelchair brigade.
Right.
And I went out there and I interviewed 50. It was actually 50 young men. There was not one of them over 22. I remember that exclusively. And I interviewed every one of them, and all of them were paraplegic, and they talked about how the vet's hospital was not taking care of them, and there was a big scandal going on at the time. And I walked out of there and I said, war is stupid. In fact, I just saw War and Peace, and it really let you know how stupid it is. So that's how you became an activist, and that's how I became more active.
And I was not automatically pro-United States because my mother refused to salute the flag. So I don't. My children don't. I grew up during the McCarthy era, and my mother would talk about what that meant. So I knew from a very early age that the United States was not exactly an exemplar for the world.
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting how influenced we are by our families and growing up, and what they know and what they don't know, how it influences
them. And sometimes you're influenced by it to follow it, and sometimes you react against it. In my case, I was following it and then took it further than they would have liked. But
well, also, it's the same thing when my father was a union man, the dedication that I have to the unions.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
Stand right there, because you really know within your heart of hearts what they're talking about and what you've gone through.
Yes.
Well, talk about, you know, what are you involved in at this moment? I know you started the Police Brutality Coalition. I know that was, we were very involved in the Andy Lopez situation. I mean, the Andy Lopez is still in the air.
And that's the reason we have three people on the ballot for sheriff. If we hadn't been doing that, there would be one candidate.
Well, you want to hear something funny. Want to hear something funny? I went to one of the forums, and I'm not going to name names, but I swear to God, when that person spoke, it was either from my speech or your speech.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, that's what I think. You know, you can't even listen to what these candidates are saying, because they've taken our script from us, and they're going to parrot it back, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's what they're going to do.
Well, we have to
So you have to know a little more about people's background and all that before you make your decision, because what they're saying right now, they might as all almost be the same person.
It's very, very interesting. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit here about the march and rally. You know, here it is. I mean, it came out. And when I saw it, I said to myself, oh, the anti-war movement is starting to move again.
Well, it started out small once upon a time, and it shouldn't have to be small right now, but it is.
You know, I want to, before we go into that, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, I was on Facebook the other day, and this really bothered me. I saw this thing saying, oh, people are moving too much to the left. And then another article was the progressives are taking over. And I said to myself, well, who am I? See, I said, who am I? I'm anti-war. I believe in health care for all. I believe in free education. You know, I go all down the list. And I said, does that make me a progressive? Does that make me
apparently? Right? Apparently.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, these are the things that we need in a community, in a culture, so we can live in peace, so we can have what we need.
And the majority of people in the United States, when they're asked about a single issue and had it, you know, it's explained within the question, most of them support most of this stuff. But when it comes to political campaigns, everything gets skewed in the way it's presented, and people don't understand what it is they're actually voting for and how to compare that to what they actually believe.
Well, also when I think, you know, one of the things I try to express on the show is don't pay attention to those flyers that come in.
That's for
Go
sure.
Go to forums. Meet the people. Say hello to them. Find out. Meet their wives.
But you can't do that with presidents.
Well.
and you really can hardly do it with senators and even legislators. It's difficult.
Well, my theory is, and maybe someone out here, you will hear that, you know, when we worked with the Community Access Television, we had four stations. One station be dedicated to political people, and it's absolutely free. Everybody gets an equal chance. The second thing that could happen is we have computers now, so if you're in a district, say, for example, you're in Mitch McConnell's district and he's going to make a decision, why can't he send out an email blast and get a vote from all his constituents? I mean, and then you get feedback. Then these people are really representing us. But we, the people, we're so busy that we don't pay attention.
Well, we've allowed those things to be taken away, just as League of Women Voters has no control anymore over the presidential debates. That was a tragedy in this country, and most people don't even realize it happened.
Well, you know, ladies, we got another tragedy. I'm really interested. I can't wait to hear Rebecca Jones talk about because maybe that's what we need to do.
As women,
we need to give more support to our women's groups.
It would be very important.
Right. Yeah. You hear that, folks? More support with our women's group.
Yeah.
Well, let's go on. We're running out of time on this segment.
So you want to know what this was about?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Let's talk about the march and rally.
So in February 6th, 66 anti-war and social justice groups got together and organized this. And it took place in New York City, Chicago, Minneapolis, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and Oakland. They decided San Francisco is not worth dealing with anymore. It's way too rich now. Those are people who are not going to turn out. But so they did Oakland. The point of it is that all of our issues are the same issue. That as long as we are organizing just around immigrants' rights, or just around the homeless, or just around a war that the United States is waging against another country, we are probably not going to have success, and that we need to all turn to each other and say, your issue is my issue. And that that will create a movement, if it were to happen, that would be huge. And that getting in the street is one very important way to let the powers that be know what it is we stand for, and that we understand we are essentially against one big common enemy that you can come to as the source of much of this, and that we need to work legislatively, outside of politics, many different ways to work on our issues, but that if we come together regularly and are strong and get bigger and bigger, as the civil rights movement did, as the anti-war movement did in the 60s, we can influence things.
Well, the one issue that, because Ken and I talk about this quite a bit, the one difference between Vietnam and now is that we had the draft.
Right.
So there's no draft now. So when there's no draft, people become complicit. You know, they.
Well, you have to stand by your moral principles. You have to not. It has to not be, and that's the whole point of coming together and saying your issue is my issue and my issue is your issue. Is we aren't saying it's just about me. Whereas when we're talking about a draft, it really becomes just about me or my child, and not about, is this war right or is this war wrong?
Well, it sounds to me like you're also saying that the main problem that we're having homeless, that we're having all the issues we're having, is because of the money that's going into the war.
That's one of the main reasons, yeah.
I mean, yes. I can't, to me, I still cannot understand how they'll go and they'll debate medical care, they'll debate marijuana till your head is spinning, mm-hmm. and yet they just go and give trillions to war and nothing is said.
That's right.
I don't understand that. How is that happening?
How is that?
but
to a degree, I don't think that, the powers that be, however you describe them, actually care about most of us. And there's a lot of historical precedent to show that there are too many people. We don't have employment for them. So number one, why educate them? Why spend your money educating people you have no jobs for? Why give them health care? It's truly better if they die.
Ooh.
I truly believe that.
Wow.
They think that there's this, if you look at British history, for instance, that people were just determined to be superfluous, and that was it. And we really are at that stage now, and until people figure that out and say, no, I'm not superfluous, no, we need to set up an economic system where people can survive.
Well, give them a hint how they can get a hint of what's going on. Just look at the potholes on our roads. You know, I mean, there's a big discussion about getting our infrastructure. You know, we have bridges that are collapsing because they're too old. You know, and people have to ask the question, why is this? I think it's important. I think one of the most important movements we could have is why is this happening? And I think the first step has to be that we have to look at, if we live in a democracy, you know, you say there was a low turnout. We have to ask ourselves, what is our responsibility? What is our responsibility? So talk about the march a little bit.
It was actually a wonderful march. It was very well organized. I went to some of the organizing meetings. I was more involved in getting the word out in Sonoma County. But it was covered. There's hardly an issue that was not covered. So it was about the wars, and it was about bases. It was about nuclear weapons. It was about staying out of the Middle East.
I want to ask you another question. You know, that when you bring up nuclear weapons, why is our hair not standing on end when we're listening to our president threatening?
Our last president was going to spend $1 trillion modernizing our nuclear weapons. Most people don't know that. He started it. And Trump is simply carrying on from where Obama started.
And where Bush started. I mean, you go back, and all of a sudden you're at Reagan.
I think that part of our problem is that I know when I was working at the Peace and Justice Center, Obama got elected, and suddenly nobody was active because you weren't going to criticize the actions of a Democratic president. You were not going to criticize the actions of a black president. Wasn't going to happen. And peace movement died. I mean, just died.
Well, I think it's even a little bit deeper than that. I mean, my thoughts about that when I think about it is that people are always looking for a savior. And
yes.
Once they see that the savior's arrived, they say, oh, everything's fine. You know, I'll just go eat my apple pie or whatever. And before you know it, the world is topsy-turvy.
Well, yeah, you know that I always called Obama and Clinton Trojan horses. Because, you know, a gift from the Democratic Party, a black man or a white woman, oh.
I got to tell you something funny. I'm watching a TV series called The Royals, and I really recommend it to people. It's on Amazon, and it's into their fourth season.
I don't support Amazon.
Well, it happens to be whatever
yeah,
you have. But the point that I'm making, that it really shows you what power does and how power handles itself. And there's one issue happened. The queen threatened someone and said, I'm going to get the king on you because he has immunity. In other words, he can kill anybody he wants. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. This is kind of our psyche.
But that's what Trump said. He said, I could walk down the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and kill them, and my supporters would not care.
Ooh, just gives you the thrill.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, just to wrap this up, you know, were there any wonderful speakers there? Anybody that you would?
Well, actually, I was spent most of my time networking with people I hadn't seen in a long time. People, who live in other areas who were there. But the speakers, I was trying to find a speakers list online, and I couldn't find it. But there were the speakers were quite varied. They leaned heavily towards young people, which was a concerted effort on the part of the people organizing.
Important is their future.
And it was people from all over the world, Filipino women, women from India. Then there was immigration issues. There were... not nearly enough environmental. Environmental doesn't like to pollute itself with other efforts. I have a real issue with environmental movements over that. There were peace movements. There were labor, all Black Lives Matter. Alice Walker was there, read a poem. It was quite a variety and heavily skewed to people of color and young people, and they were all really dynamite.
Well, it's interesting listening to it. I'm sorry that I wasn't able to attend. I came at this age. I don't travel as much anymore.
Yeah, well, that is the problem. Most of the people I know are older and they don't travel. But I've encountered very few people from Sonoma County, despite the fact that the Green Party endorsed it, Peace and Justice Center, Veterans for Peace. We may have had the largest contingent at four of us, and I think Occupy Sonoma County. I've got a list.
Well, I think, too, you know, I want to give people a nod, because the bottom line is you still got this flyer out. You still got people going, and it's the beginning. And I see us moving forward with this. And I really want to encourage my listeners to ask the question, how did we get here? Because you've got to understand. And a lot of it is, I'm sorry to say this, a lot of it is not taking responsibility and listening and getting to know our candidates. Well, now we're going to wrap up on this segment. Susan, how do people get a hold of you? Anything that you'd like to announce? Anything going on that's important to you?
No. Not at the moment. There isn't. But get in touch with me. It would be personally, I'm on Facebook, Susan Collier Lamont. Easy to reach that way. And other than giving out my phone number,
no.
I'm not involved in any officially representing an organization.
It sounds like you're taking a little bit of a break.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, anyway, thank you so much, Susan Lamont, activist and writer and beautiful photographer, for being on Women's Spaces and giving us a little bit of an update on the Oakland rally that happened yesterday, Sunday, April 15th. It happened in Oakland. It was no to U.S. wars at home and abroad. I think it's a very important movement. And again, I want to encourage my listeners, try to find a way to get involved. I mean, we're going to listen to Rebecca Jones talk about the League of Women Voters, and I know that they always need people. So thank you so much, Susan Lamont, again, for being on Women's Spaces and for sharing your wisdom. And hang in there, baby.
Yeah, thank you. Your issue is my issue. Everybody needs to remember that.
The children are our future. Remember that. Issues. You know, you have a little girl, a little boy in your hands, in your arms, you're taking to school, you're taking, you know, you're helping to grow up. You know, some women out there pregnant, having those babies, that's their future. We're trying to make a better future. It's very important to get involved. Well, here's another song that I found, and I'm going to play this all the way through. This is wonderful. This is a woman by the name of Roberta Downey, and she's going to actually be on the panel for the Women in Music Festival, and she's singing this beautiful song called One World. So we're going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to be talking to Rebecca Jones, the president of the League of Women Voters, Sonoma County Chapter, and she's going to be talking all about the League and some of the upcoming forums. And I want to just tell folks, I want you to hear this. Our League has been in existence here in Sonoma County since 1951. So we need to give them a big hand of applause for hanging in there. So let's go ahead and listen to Miss Downing singing One World, and then we'll be right back.
Sky full of thunder. When we open our eyes, do we see what we want to see? There is only one planet that circles the sun that we all call our own, and in only one moment we all decide.
One dream of peace. What a beautiful, beautiful song that is. Rebecca just said that one of her favorite songs is Imagine, and mine too. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my special guest joining me in the studio, Rebecca Jones, president of the Sonoma County chapter of the League of Women Voters. Before we begin, Rebecca, I'd like to tell my listeners a bit about you. Is that okay?
Okay.
Rebecca is a graduate of my alma mater, Sonoma State, where she earned a degree in accounting. She worked at Hewlett-Packard and Agilent Technologies for over 25 years. Rebecca has always been interested in social and political issues, but did not become sufficiently involved in local issues until she retired. Upon retiring, she joined the League of Women Voters in 2013 and has served as secretary and now president. Originally, she's from Montana. She came to Sonoma County in 1975, 2 years after I came. I came in 1973. She's married. She has two grown children, three grandchildren, and the blessing is they all live in Sonoma County.
Right.
Well, welcome, Rebecca. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, let's start out. You know, I'll tell you, I went on the website and I start looking up the league, and I was just amazed that they started in the 1920s, and 1951 is when they started here in Sonoma County. So give us a little background. I know you've done a little historical research for us.
Sure. Well, the league is a national political organization, and it's organized at the national, the state, the regional, and the local level. And there's chapters in all 50 states, in 700 communities, and evidently, we have about 300,000 members or supporters nationwide, so it's a big organization. The League is a nonpartisan political organization which promotes political responsibility and active participation of citizens in government. Being nonpartisan, we never support or oppose any candidate or party.
You know, I know a lot of people have a little confusion with that word, nonpartisan. Explain it just a little bit.
Well, it really means that we are involved in issues. So when we look at an issue, we study it and we determine what position we want to take on that issue. And in the past, there have been issues that would be maybe Republican supported or Democrat supported or any other party supported, but we look at the issues. We don't strictly go by a party.
How do you prevent that? I mean, when you have somebody there that's a diehard Democrat or a diehard Republican, how would you prevent them from not saying, no, I want my way?
Because we go through a process called consensus decision making.
Ah.
So what that does is if there's an issue, let's say guns, that we are interested in, then we will get a group of people together at whatever level that, and this one is actually at a national level. So they get a group of members together, and they study this issue, look at the pros and cons of all sides of that issue, and come to a consensus where everybody doesn't necessarily have to agree, but they can get to the point where they can support a position. And then that position is what guides the activities that the league does.
Well, you know, it sounds to me, because I have sat in groups where you've had to go through consensus,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds to me like there has to be a higher level of consciousness to be able to function with the league,
yeah.
and saying we are bipartisan because you have these issues that people are so strong about.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that. What was the motivation for starting a chapter, you know, here in Sonoma County? Do you have any idea?
You know, the motivation back at that point, I'm not that familiar with, but I know that during the history of the League of Women Voters, there's been so many things that the League has been involved in. Let me just back up for a second. The League was founded in 1920, right after the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote, was ratified. And it was as a result of the women's suffrage movement. Carrie Chapman Catt was the leader of the women's suffrage movement, and she was the first league president.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she She wanted at the, it was kind of an interesting little tidbit that at one of the first board meetings, she wanted to rename it to the League of Voters. And she wanted to admit men at the time. And that was not passed. And it wasn't until 1974 that men were admitted to the League of Women Voters.
Do they go through a screening?
No. No, but I have to say that we have a lot of men that are members of our league and very active, and it's the way it should be. It took us a while, but we got there.
Well, you know, one of the things that people have such a hard time with the idea of the word feminist. They think if you're a feminist that you're throwing men out, the, you know, getting rid of
right.
them. No, that's
no.
not true. When you're a woman that's really evolved and looking at things this way, you're looking for men to join you, but also that they have the same level of consciousness,
right.
I would hope.
Right.
So go ahead, continue, Rebecca.
Okay, so the other one that I like is that Eleanor Roosevelt was a dedicated member or supporter of the League throughout her life. She had to distance herself from the League while her husband was in the White House, but there was a lot of cooperation over the years between Eleanor and the League. Another thing that was interesting is in the 70s, the League joined with the National Organization for Women trying to get the 27th Amendment, the Equal Rights Amendment, ratified. And that was going along just great for a while until the country became a little bit more conservative during the Reagan era. And it was they had to get it, the Equal Rights Amendment, ratified by 1982. And Phyllis Schlafly, as we all remember her, as mounted an effective anti-amendment campaign, and so that amendment was never ratified.
So aren't they still looking to have that happen?
I think so, but, you know, there's so many things going on right now. I haven't heard a lot of movement there.
If you watch the documentary Seeing All Red, our documentary with Gloria Allred, mm-hmm. she talks about the states and getting the Equal Rights Amendments ratified, that there are several states that have done it, and there's so many. So I really recommend that documentary for women, because they could understand what is going on. She really made it very clear about the Equal Rights Amendment.
Yeah.
So go ahead, continue, Rebecca.
So then also, Susan mentioned that the League was involved in the past in presidential debates, and that's true. And the last presidential debate that was sponsored by the League was in 1984 between Reagan and Mondale. And then following the 84 election, the parties got together and decided that they wanted to take over the scheduling and the formatting and the staging of the debates. So in 1988, they asked the League to sponsor, but the League was so unhappy with the rules and the formatting that the parties demanded, they refused to sponsor and they walked away from the project. And the League president at that time said, "We have no intention of becoming an accessory to the hoodwinking of the American public."
Oh, my God. Strong women. Strong, capable women. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I like that. Say that again. Say that again.
Okay.
I want to hear that again.
She said, "We have no intention of becoming an accessory to the hoodwinking of the American public." And so it goes.
And go let go.
I haven't listened to a presidential debate since.
Oh, well, I don't blame you. So Rebecca, let's start coming up to today's world.
Okay.
What's going on in
okay.
today's chapter? I know you have a lot of forms going on, a lot of different exciting
right.
things. And I really, I have to say this, just listening to you, and I want my listeners to know this is the first time Rebecca has been on the radio, and you are doing such a good job. No wonder you're a great president.
Oh, thanks
a lot. Thank you.
Well, let's see. So some of the things that the local league is doing right now is, and you talked about this earlier, about the importance of voting. We've got to get our people out to vote. So we've been registering voters and informing them of the importance of voting. Voting, first of all, you need to register. And then you need to be informed I mean, before you vote, you need to know what you're voting for.
That's why I say don't pay attention to the flyers. The flyer's just a piece of paper with somebody's opinion. Yeah. You have to go out. You have to meet these people. And you have – why is it important? Because you're voting for the future of your children.
Right.
Period.
And speaking of children, I mean, what we've been doing is we've been going out to high schools and the JC and registering voters and speaking to the young voters on the importance of voting. And we've been tabling at marches and markets and events, and we're going to be doing a lot more of that. But one of the things I tell the high school kids is that young people, millennials, between about 18 and 34, are about 30% of the voting population.
Really?
Yeah. And in 2016, about half of them were registered, but only 19% voted. They just, I mean, there's just been an apathy there.
Well, it's not apathy.
Well,
it really isn't.
It is, but not all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, because what is happening is when constantly you're hearing, oh, your vote doesn't count, or you have to stand in line for 26 hours, you hear all these things. All of a sudden, you don't want to show up at the polls.
Right.
But, I've always thought why we don't make the day we vote a national holiday. I mean, we do it for, George Washington. How old is he? I mean, way back when. Why can't we do it for our voting? But go ahead and continue. It's a very important information.
It is. And there's 46 million millennials in our country and 39 million seniors. There's more millennials than there are seniors. So that's the thing that we're emphasizing with these high school students is that they have the power. And I give examples like the suffragettes. They marched and they protested and they put pressure on politicians before they got that right to vote.
Anti-war movement, the civil rights movement.
Exactly. On and on. Well, during the Vietnam protests, you had to be 21 to vote. But you were drafted at 18. So that changed in 1972. They changed the voting age to 18 at that time. So anyway, we're really trying to get the word out that it is important to vote. One of the other populations that does not vote is our immigrant population. So we're going out and we're working with Catholic Charities.
That's so interesting to me, that immigrant population, the most important thing that they have to recognize is most of them come over here because of poor conditions. And if you want the conditions to improve, you have to pay attention to who's running for office, because those are the people that decide your conditions.
Exactly.
Whether you like it or not, and we're powerless when we don't vote. One of the things, if someone is going yang, yang, yang to me, I ask them, did you vote? If they say no, I said, I don't want to hear from you. I mean, if you can't just do the very least, the one simplest thing in our culture, much more simpler than protesting and all the other things that we have to do. So go ahead and continue, my dear. I'm sorry about
no,
that.
No, that's okay. I mean, because it is very, very important to connect with these different parts of our community and let them know the importance of voting. So we're working on that. Another thing that we started this year was civil discourse training. There's just such a toxic tone in our political discourse.
Boy, the league is really starting to stand up there, women.
Oh yeah, it's just we can't be screaming at each other and interrupting each other and calling each other names. We have to be able to talk and
or
listen.
Ignoring each other.
Media, yeah.
Ignoring women's movements and all kinds of different things that happen.
Right, but we have to understand each other too. Really quick little side thing, you mentioned that I was from Montana. We had to go back for a family issue a few weeks ago, and we had a discussion with one of our relatives, and they're very, very conservative and very one-sided. But it was very interesting to listen and understand where they're coming from. And I think that's what we need to do more of.
We need to have dialogues together.
Yes.
We need to understand that we're all on the same page and with a different language. It's very interesting. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, so let's hear about the forums that are coming up. Very important.
Okay.
And I'm telling you folks, especially the sheriff's election, is one of the most important elections we've had in three decades. So go ahead, give us our forum.
Okay, so our forum info, we just had one in Grayton on last Monday on April 9th, so that's done, but that was in Grayton. There's another one that's coming Monday on the 23rd at the Sonoma Veterans Hall in Sonoma. And then there's one on April 30th at the Santa Rosa Veterans Hall that is a co-sponsored event. So that's going to be a pretty big event. That one's from 6:30 to 7:30. Actually, all of these are 6:30 to 7:30.
And these are all specifically about the sheriff's race, right?
These are all sheriff's race, yes. So we'll have all three candidates. There's questions that they are posed to them, and then the audience gets an opportunity.
You know, I hope that you let people come to the mic. I mean, I go crazy with these questions. They turn in, and then everybody's filtering. You know, I want to hear from the people. But anyway, it's just an opinion.
Go ahead. And then the other one I want to make sure that I point out is this Thursday on April 19th, at the Finley Center, we're having a forum for the clerk, recorder, assessor, registrar, voters. Now, that's not quite as tantalizing,
as sexy
as the sheriff's, but it's really important. This is the person that is overseeing the security of our voting information and results, and they're going to be changing their systems this coming year or next year, and we want to hear from them as well. So that's at 6:00 at the Finley Center in the Person Senior Wing over there. And then we have on May 16th at the Rincon Valley Regional Library a ballot measures pros and cons. So what we do, there's a few of us in the league, we get together and we summarize different ballot measures.
Well, Rebecca, I'm going to have all this information on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces and giving us such an articulate and thorough report. And thank you for all the work that you're doing. I mean, we need to support groups like Verity, like the League of Women Voters, like the National Organization for Women, and I think that we have to start working together. We start shaking hands again because there's a lot of good stuff going on, and let me tell you something, I'm ready for it. That's what keeps you going. So thank you so much, Rebecca Jones from the League of Women Voters, for being here, and a special thank you to my dear friend Susan Lamond for giving us a report on the protest that happened in Oakland. Watch Women's Spaces, listen to Women's Spaces for any other upcoming protests or things that are going on. It's very important that you get involved one way or another. But the most important thing is on June 5th that you go to the ballot, you vote. Anyway, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I want to remind the folks out there that we will rerun tonight at 11 o'clock. I'm so excited. I get to hear my own show. And I want to remind you that the children are our future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Because a woman in your life, and a woman in your life, and a woman in your life.